Well, it's good to see everybody this morning. I'm sorry that you're sitting out in the sun baking. Who would have known after such a cloudy, rainy, nasty winter that we have so many days like we've had this week of sunshine and now a little bit of warmth. It's not as bad as what we thought it was going to be. So thank you guys for enduring this. Sorry that you're squinting. Somebody wants my sunglasses. They're up here. I'll give them to you during the service. You can just come grab them. But we've been talking about worship over the past several weeks. Okay, we've talked about when worship happens, where worship happens, good examples of worship, bad examples of worship, and we've just kind of tracked through Old Testament, New Testament, Father Abraham, some of the examples of disciples and different people who followed Jesus in Scripture. And I've been saying a lot lately that, you know, Jesus would never ask us to do something that he was not willing to do himself, right? I mean, that's the whole aspect of what I think is so important for us as Christians to realize is that Jesus would never call us to do something that he was not first willing to do himself. And so today we get to look at the best example of worship. We look at the example that Jesus Christ set and everything that he did from his life leading up to death on the cross. And so we're going to look in Mark chapter 14 today, verses 32 to 42. Sorry about the projector. You know, everything sounds good in your mind, and you get out here and the sun's blazing and it doesn't even act like it's on. So we're very grateful to be here. But Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42, and we're going to read together. It says, "They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, 'Sit here while I go and pray.' He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed, and he told them, 'My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' So he went on a little further, and he fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. 'Abba, Father,' he cried, 'everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done and not mine.'" Verse 37, "Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, 'Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak.'" Parents, how frustrating is it when you tell your kids something and you want them to listen, they don't, and you're just like, you don't know what's coming. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to let you know what's coming. All right, this is what Jesus is doing. Verse 39, "Then Jesus left him again. He prayed the same prayers before. 'Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass.' In verse 40, it says, 'When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping again, for they couldn't keep their eyes open and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, 'Go ahead and sleep, have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here.'" And I want to skip over to Luke chapter 22, verses 41 through 44, and just kind of give you a little more insight as to what Jesus is going through during this moment. And in verse 41, it says, "He walked away about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed. He said, 'Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine.' Then an angel from heaven appeared and it strengthened him, and he prayed more fervently as he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood." So here you have the Savior of the world, Jesus, the best example of worship in this moment in time. And we got three things I want you to take note of this morning. Number one, it's okay if you don't want to. There are many of you sitting here this morning, many of you who are saved and have given your heart to Christ, and there's many of you who are sitting here this morning who haven't quite done that yet. And I just want you to know, it's okay if you don't want to. It's our natural instinct as human beings to cling to ourselves and our selfish desires and what we want to do to accomplish the dreams and the tasks and make money and have all the things that we've always wanted. That's a natural thing. Many people who are Christians here today can tell you they probably fought it for years before they gave their heart to Christ. It's a process that we all as human beings go through to surrender to the Lord. Most people don't naturally want to do that. I've never met a single person that says, yeah, from the day I was born till the time I got saved, I always wanted to give my heart to Christ. It's just exactly what I want to do. Never met anybody like that. Most people fight it. I know for me, going to church back and forth over the years, being in and out, not really knowing what the future held for me. You know, as a teenager, you're just like hopes and dreams and all these things that you can accomplish, and you're just like holding out so that you can like get the best thing. And you don't want to surrender to the Lord because you feel like it's going to restrict you in some way. But our tendency is to rebel against God and to be selfish. So this morning, if you're sitting here and you don't want to, I want you to know it's natural. You with me today? Can I get an amen from somebody who is saved, who knows, like, it's natural to resist it? It's natural to rebel? Jesus didn't want to do God's will. You look at this passage right here, and you look at his prayer. What is he praying? God, let this cup pass from me. Lord, if it's possible, take this away. I don't know if you've ever thought about it before, but Jesus didn't want what was coming to him. You know, it's like he was fully man, and at the same time, he was fully God. He knew what his purpose was. He knew what was awaiting him. And while he knew what was awaiting him, it was one of those things, it was the most agonizing thing in the world to be in this moment, to know that this is about to happen, and he didn't want to do it. That's natural, right? Natural. How many of you want to suffer? Nobody? What? That's crazy. Nobody wants to suffer. The worst thing in the world is knowing that something bad is coming and having to anticipate it. I don't know, several of you in here probably have had surgery scheduled or some kind of procedure, and it's weeks or maybe even months away, and then you have to just sit there and think about it. How miserable is that when you have to think about something that's bad that's coming up? The anticipation of it is so much worse than the actual thing that's going to happen, right? Like when I was little and we would be out in public, and it was the worst thing ever because I was a pretty bad kid. First thing we did in the morning, we'd go out somewhere and I would do something stupid, and Dad'd say, when we get home, you're going to get a whipping when you get home. And he was dead serious. He's like a dang elephant. He never forgot. There was never a time when we went home and he did not forget to give me a whipping. And I knew that I was going to get it. And so the whole day I was just sitting there like, your stomach's turning in knots. And it's like, you just wish you could go ahead and get it over with. But the worst punishment ever is just sitting there anticipating the butt whipping you were going to get when you got home. And Jesus knew what was coming to him. He knew. He understood what God was about to inflict on him in this moment in time. And yet there was a natural desire that he just didn't want to do it. He was looking for any way out. And he asked God to take it away. And I want you to know it's okay. You with me this morning? It's okay to be like that. It's okay to ask God to take it away. There are many things that we're going to endure this life that we don't want to go through. Right? The older you get, the more you realize that. There are many things in life that we will endure as human beings that we don't want to go through. There are valleys of suffering and pain that you and I are ordained to walk through in this life. We're going to do it. We're going to suffer. There's going to be things that are taken from us. There's going to be times in our life where we're going to suffer, and it's going to be hard. But I want you to understand this morning that sometimes these things are a must in our life. God has a plan. God had a plan for Jesus Christ. From the very beginning of creation, the plan was to send his one and only son to sacrifice him on the cross for our sins. Everything that Jesus was about to endure had to happen so that you and I could have eternal life. It was part of the plan. And while everything that we go through in our life, there are going to be pains, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be loss, there's going to be stuff that happens that we are ordained to go through as Christians. And what God is doing is God has a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for the world. And what God is doing is he's working out this huge, enormous plan that involves everyone. And you and I are just a small part of that. So we think the world revolves around us. I think the older we get, the more we realize it doesn't, but we still want it to. But the world doesn't revolve around us. And we realize that, and it's kind of one of the most eye-opening things to understand that really it's revolving around God and his plan and what he's wanting to accomplish. God has ordained certain moments, valleys, sufferings, experiences for us in our life that we must endure because he wants to shape us and mold us and grow us to help us and develop us as Christians, as leaders, as examples to other people. And what Jesus is about to go through, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. But he knows that it's God's will and he's willing to surrender to it. Point number two, it's okay for you to ask for another way. As Jesus is sitting here in the garden, he said, Lord, anything's possible with you. Anything's possible. If you want to, you can take this cup from me. And he was open to anything else, but what God was calling him to do in that moment is, Lord, anything's possible. Please take it away. And there might be something in your life right now that you're going through, something you're experiencing. You're just like, God, please take this away. God, do this. Please take this away. I know anything is possible with you. And for whatever reason, you're sitting here this morning and God has not taken it away. God has not relieved the pain. He's not relieved the suffering. He's not relieved the agony of whatever it is that you're feeling. And it really stinks because as people, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have that faith. We say that we believe anything is possible with God, but then it's always really hard to explain whenever something we have faith in doesn't work out the way that we want it to, right? I mean, it's hard to explain that to other people. I always think about Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. You have these three incredible young Hebrew boys. They're teenagers. And King Nebuchadnezzar sets up this gold statue. He orders everybody to bow down and worship it. And these three men refuse to do it. Verse 16 of chapter 3 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. Right? I mean, like they get, I mean, think about these young teenage boys. God is able to save us. We believe that he's able to save us. He can rescue us from your power, your majesty. In verse 18, but look what they say. You're looking at three teenage boys who have an incredible amount of spiritual maturity that goes beyond most people that I've met even in my life. It says, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. They were there. They were in that moment. They were facing death, being thrown into a blazing furnace, fire, burned to death. I can't think of any worse way to go. And while they're facing that, they said, God's able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to do it. We know that he can, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to do it. And they had that attitude in their life. And so you look at Jesus right here, and you look at this example of Jesus is praying to God, and he's calling out to him, God, if there's any other way, please do this. Anything's possible with you. I know that you, all things are possible. You can make another way. And for whatever reason, God says, no, this is the way. This is the way. Timmy, you like that. You like that, didn't you? That's this little Star Wars throw out there for Pastor Timmy. This is the way. Yes, I could do something else. Yes, I could call down 1,000 angels to save you and take this away from you. Yes, I could make this all go away, but then my plan would not take place. And so even Jesus, the Son of God, has to submit to God's plan. And we have to come to this point in our relationship with Christ of understanding, number one, it's okay not to want to. And the younger you are, the more you're probably fighting this. And some of you may still be fighting this even in older age. It's okay not to want to. It's okay to want some other way, to look for some other option than what God is calling you to do or asking you to do, or this valley that you're going through, or the suffering or the pain that you're experiencing. It's okay to ask for God to take it away and do something different. But point number three you have to see is following the best example of worship that Christ ever gave. It's understanding that eventually we have to be okay with God's will. We have to be okay with it. If you're sitting here this morning and you're celebrating the risen Savior and you claim to be a follower of Christ and you say, you're like Henry, you're waiting to either go there through death or you're waiting for Jesus to come on the clouds, you have to come to a point in your life where you become okay with God's will. Amen. That you have to accept that in your life, to understand that God's not always going to call us to easy things. In fact, when you read Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation, most things that he calls people to are extremely difficult. They go through a lot of suffering. I was listening to a sermon on the radio the other day, was talking about most people in the Bible seem to be depressed. Actually, several of them, whenever they did something that God called them to do, wished that God would let them die. after they accomplished the great task. Like, we think that once we accomplish this great task and something amazing happens, we would all be, yes, victory, and we're shouting and celebrating. But there are many people in Scripture that once they did what God called them to do, they were in such distress and such agony. People hated them so much for what God had called them to do that they even wished that God would just go ahead and let them die. You follow me this morning? What God calls us to is not always easy. What God calls us to is not always going to be the thing that makes us happy and joyful from the beginning. But I can tell you, as a follower of Christ for 20 years, and I hope there's some older people out here who's about to give some amens on this one, is understanding that 20 years into this thing, realizing that not everything was easy, there have been some difficult roads, it's been oh so worth it. No amens. Thank you. Thank you. All right, just making sure y'all are awake. We got the safety team to do CPR. Make sure not everybody's dead. Guys, we have to be okay with God's will. Because the longer you live it out, the longer you live it out and you trust in God and you follow Him, the longer you see that it is worth it. Yes, it is difficult. Yes, there are things. There are times and seasons, even as a Christian, that you're going to walk through that are going to be extremely difficult and hard. But it is worth it. And the rewards of being a Christian are so much better than the consequences of sin. And I can tell you that from personal experience. It's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest eye-openers for me personally whenever I got saved is I didn't do stupid stuff anymore and I wasn't getting in trouble like I used to. I used to stay in trouble. And it was like one of the most rewarding things. I didn't have to worry about what was going to happen in the principal's office. I didn't have to worry about what was going to happen when I got home and I was going to get that whipping daddy had promised me that morning. It is so worth it to follow God. And at first, it doesn't seem like it. But Jesus tells God, I want your will to be done and not mine. That's where we got to be. That's where we have to end up. And I want you to know that this whole aspect of surrendering, I want you to look at me and just pay really close attention real quick. It didn't just happen when Jesus turned 33 and now it's time for him to die. You understand that? Like, a 33-year-old man doesn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll surrender to God today, and then he's willing all of a sudden to give his life and suffer the most agonizing death and pain you could ever go through. And then he's just like, okay with doing that today. This was a lifetime of God leading him up to this moment to be willing to surrender to him completely. It started as a child. And when you read about Jesus and it talks about all the little things about how he was obedient to his parents, he gave up recognition. He knew the scriptures. Even the religious leader saw that he spoke with wisdom and authority even as a child at the temple. He gave up his own desires. He gave up dreams. He gave up love. He gave up family. He gave up wealth. He gave up friends. And he gave up the kingdoms of the earth. I mean, from what we read, Satan took him on the mountain, offered him all the kingdoms of the earth, said, you can rule the world now. These are my kingdoms. I can give them to you now. And Jesus said, no, not going to do it. Because the throne I'm going to inherit is an eternal throne, and I'll get to rule over all these things for eternity. And you're just wanting to give me all the kingdoms of the earth for a really short, insignificant amount of time. It started from a young age, following God, being obedient in every little aspect of life leading up to this point where he is finally willing to give all to do what God has called him to do in his life. Today, chances are you're sitting here, God is conditioning you. God is grooming you in some way. He's trying to raise you up. From the youngest person here to the oldest person here, God is working and moving in your life through different circumstances, different situations, different things that are going on. It could be family, job, friends, anything. And chances are God is working and moving in all of our lives today to get us to the point to where he wants us to be, to where we can fully surrender the way that Jesus was willing to do in this passage that we just read. Because many of you are probably sitting here this morning just like, I just remember being a teenager and just thinking about this when I first got saved and just said, I couldn't do that. Couldn't do it. There's no way I'd be able to just like go and endure that pain and die. There's no way. And now I'm 36 years old and I still don't know if I would be able to do it. I would like to hope that I could. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to hope that I could. I hope that I'd make that decision. But I still couldn't tell you 100% today that yes, I can. God is grooming us and conditioning us all to be His followers, to be His servants, to be the men and women of God that He's called us to be. And the earlier we start out, for our kids in here, the earlier the teenagers, the earlier you start out in this, the better off you're going to be. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache and pain if you start surrendering to the Lord now. Can you get an amen from some of you older people? Because this best example of worship is about giving yourself completely to God. Jesus was surrendering 100% everything He had. This was the moment. There was nothing else that He could give. He had surrendered everything else, and now God had called for His life and pain and suffering. And even Jesus was called to give it all. And this morning, I want us to understand, don't think that God would not call us to the same thing. Jesus led by example. There's nothing that He's not going to call us to do that He's not willing to do Himself. And thankfully, we live in a country where we have religious freedom. It's not like death is just knocking on the door because we say we believe in Christ. But don't think for one second this morning that God is not going to come in your life and say, okay, you want to follow me? Great. I love you. I died for you. I want to give you eternal life. But this is what I want from you. And there's going to be something. There's going to be things. There's going to be people. There's going to be stuff in your life that God calls and says, this is not good for you. This person's not good for you. These people are not good for you. This job, this hobby, this thing is not good for you. And I'm calling you away from it because if you really want to follow me, I want you to be the best follower that you can possibly be because I have a great, magnificent plan for your life. And as long as all this stuff is still there and it's still present in your life, I can't do with you what I need to do with you. You will always think that I'm a Christian and my relationship with God and faith is weak and the power of God is weak because you are still allowing your life to be consumed by sin and hobbies and things that are just taking you away from me. And in reality, that's why our relationship with God is weak, not because God is weak. You follow me this morning? God is calling us to surrender all. Abraham had to leave everything behind. He had to give up his son. The sinful woman spent everything she had on a bottle of perfume, poured it out, lost all her money and all her dignity at the same time. The old woman gave all that she had to live on, and Jesus gave the very last thing that He had to give, His physical body and His life. Worship is about giving to God. And thankfully today, you and I are not called to lay our lives down on an altar and sacrifice ourselves, but we're called to be living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him, to give yourself to Him. And Paul also writes in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and he references back to Christ as he's calling them. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born to be a human. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in the obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. You and I are called to follow the example of Christ, not to cling to the idea that we deserve anything or we should have anything, but this idea that we should be freely giving ourselves away to worship God and serve Him the way that He's called us to. So this morning, Easter Sunday, I hope Easter Sunday is more than just dressing up and looking pretty for you. I hope it's more than just putting on fancy clothes and taking pictures and going to eat a dinner in a couple hours. If you really want to worship the Lord, you really want to honor Christ for what He gave, be willing to surrender to the Lord what He's calling you to. For the person over here, it might be something specific to you. And the person over here, it might be something completely different, but very specific to you that God is calling you to this morning to say, hey, I want you to grow with me. I want our relationship to be better. I want you to surrender these things to me so that you can feel the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. They're going to play our last song. But you know what it is. I guarantee you, if you're sitting here this morning, if there's something in your life that you're holding back, you know what it is. The Lord's already spoke to you about it. And right now, it's just one of those things that's just pricking away at your heart. So I challenge you today, in honor of Jesus Christ, because he gave all, for you to be willing to give all in your relationship with him. Stand with us as we sing. Bow your head and close your eyes. Before we pray, I just want to remind you, if there's something the Lord is calling you to give, to surrender, don't avoid it. Don't prolong it. Don't procrastinate with it. Surrender to Him now. It's one of those things that if you just keep putting it off, you're going to keep dreading it. You're going to keep having to think about dealing with it, and you just dread it. You just hate coming to church. You hate being reminded of it. You hate allowing the Lord to speak into your life because you feel guilty over it. But if you surrender it now, the Lord can work and move in you freely. The guilt can be removed. The shame can be gone. And that's my cry for you this morning, is just for you to leave this place today being right with God, exactly where He wants you to be at this day and this time. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity to come today and to meet out here in this yard. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to sing Your songs, to read Your scripture, to just hear testimony today about how amazing You have been in the life of one of our best members. God, I pray that You would speak into all of our hearts and lives today. God, that You would fill us all with testimony of not only what You've done in our life in the past, but God, what You're doing in our life right now in this moment. God, give us wisdom, give us discernment. Lord, give us courage to share what it is that You're doing in our hearts and lives. And Lord, give us even more courage to be able to accept and allow You to move in our heart and life, to be humble and surrender these things to You. Jesus, we thank You for the greatest example of giving Yourself even when You didn't want to. Thank You for that. Lord, we have eternal life today because of that gift. Thank You for that. Father, we love You today, and we just ask that You would be with us in all that we do. And I just pray that everything that was done would be pleasing and honoring to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.